Get ready to get your hands up! It's Metallica!
Welcome to E3 Mania, or not, because none of us could attend E3. This is episode 54 of the Try Games What?
Try Games Podcast!
Where we specialize in not going to E3 because we're a bunch of losers who have real jobs and make real money.
Loser.
We're missing Ethan today, and frankly, that means a better podcast. But in his place are the two lovely ladies, Alfred.
Metallica!
Tony!
Metallica?
You sound excited.
Let me tell you something. You know, the Earth, what was it, Live Earth? They were they were actually playing on Live Earth. And, it was all about, like, environmental, awareness and stuff like that. Having Metallica playing Enter Sandman is environmentally unsound. They fucking sucked. It was so bad, it was embarrassing. If they had played that originally for the CD, nobody would have bought that song. Plain and simple.
Did they just lose their touch?
They suck. They're old. They go up there, and it was like Hetfield was like, "Enter Light." Yeah, everybody. What do you say? Yeah, sing along. Shut the fuck up.
It's like rappers on stage.
Oh man, that's
everybody
horrible.
Bought a what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Help me out, because I forgot.
Yeah. Let me get my friend in here. Yeah.
What? Al, what have you been playing? Pokemon.
Yep.
Pokemon.
I've been at work way too long to play anything else really. Right now, I finished. Did you just say hot coffee?
Pikachu.
Pika coffee.
Pikachu.
Continue.
Yeah, right now I'm just working on getting my team that I beat Sapphire with to up to the level in Pro, so that I could beat Pro with them. They'll have championship ribbons for both games. And then I've been doing some trading and some raising and stuff with my friends. And then my best friend just got Diamond yesterday, and I was helping him out with that. So I'm just kind of smoothing it on out right now, chilling, running around, planting berries.
Planting berries, that sounds suggestive. Hey. I actually saw some guy playing it on the train yesterday on the way back home. I went out, and I was tempted to be like, "Hey, we have a podcast every week," but I was too drunk, so I didn't say anything.
"Hey, we have a podcast every week." Just so what does that have to do with Pikachu?
It's like, you could listen to our guy talk about... No.
Yeah.
Is that it, or have you been playing Tetris somehow? In your brain.
Damned if I could. I've been at work like 56 hours this week.
Is this for Rock Band?
What?
Your overtime, is that for Rock Band?
No, my overtime is for Survival.
Damn it!
Survival! Fuck Rock Band, I need to live!
You know, I gotta make rent for next month.
Yeah. Tony, what are you playing?
Okay, I've been playing a bevy of shit. So I came over to Ethan's house, played some Command & Conquer 3, played some Ghost Recon, Advanced Warfighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's sweet, except that the AI, nailed it. Really fucking dumb. You control your guys. Like, when you meet up with your guys, you've got options how to, like, make the move. You could have them, like, attack or follow you. Let me tell you something. The follow does not work. Does not fucking work. Okay? You press follow, the guy stays way back. You're like, "Where the fuck is my guy?" Now you got to go all the way back and say, "All right, now attack." Yeah, attack. That's all you have to do. You want him to go forward? Just attack. That's it.
I got you.
Okay? You know, so, and then, you know, you'll know where the enemy is when your fucking AI guy gets killed because he sucks.
Right.
So, you know, at least he gives you that advantage, that one little thing.
A worthy sacrifice for the cause.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, there's a guy there. I'm glad you died, not me.
You died for exactly. Something. You died for your country. Well, you died for me.
Yeah. And so I also played SimCity 4, rocked out on that game. And then I decided to open Ethan's driver, Parallel Lines.
Because he never opened it.
I'm not too impressed with it so far. They had a good idea. They put, like, Brooklyn in there and Queens and a little bit of New Jersey and, of course, Manhattan. But everything is generic. Everything is so generic in visuals and stuff like that. Like, for instance, I went to Coney Island.
What version did he get? The Wii, PS2,
no,
or
PS2.
PC? Okay.
PS2. So, like, I went to Coney Island, And not only do they not have, like, the, you know, original, you know, traditional Coney Island landmarks there, but the Cyclone looked like an abandoned fucking ghost ride. I swear to God.
The wind like, gust.
It was just, and that was the only ride there.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, that's Coney Island for you. That's the, you know, they were prophetic. That's how Coney Island's going
to
look.
I'm impressed with the fact that he was dumb enough to buy it in the first place. You hear that, buddy?
I think he got it in a bargain bin. That's why.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Ethan in his bargain bin.
I got good games on a bargain bin. I got fucking Brothers in Arms for 15 bucks.
Well,
and
that's because you know about good games. I mean, seriously, now, he doesn't know anything.
I got a question about Driver Parallel Lines. Do they still have the Movie Maker feature?
I don't know. I haven't played it really that much. I just played it like for about 2 hours today, as a matter of fact, before the podcast. I could say that I'm impressed with the cutscenes, but it, you know, but it's essentially Grand Theft Driver. You know,
it is.
Right.
Parallel Andreas. That's what it should
Parallel
be.
Andreas.
Parallelius. Paradreas.
But in Driver 3, a friend of mine, he was showing off the movie making feature where you just basically like take a, you know, one of your quests that you did and you record everything that you do.
Okay.
And it was cool. That was what made the game really fun because you would do some kind of weird messed up stuff. Like he drove a car and it crashed into a restaurant. Okay. He came out of the car and he ran up to somebody, started beating them up and took their truck. And then ran the truck into something else, and it was just blowing stuff up, basically. But the funniest part was that when he played the video in the Movie Maker, the one he recorded at home, he caught the car crashing into the restaurant from inside the restaurant. So you see this guy sitting down eating, like, lunch.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the car is flying toward the thing on his side. And it's coming toward the window. That's and awesome. He looks out the window, and he gets up and runs. And then he crashes into the window.
That's actually pretty, I thought you were gonna say it like clipped or something, you know.
No, it was good. That made me want the game, but I never went. He had it for Xbox, so you could save it on a hard drive and have more space.
I got you. Otherwise, do they save it on memory cards or are they not saving it?
Probably.
They save it on memory cards because in the original driver they have it saved on that tiny ass PlayStation memory card.
Yeah, which sucks. I mean,
Gotta have a whole memory card for it.
Yeah.
What'd you play in Austin?
I got at the bargain bin, I got Brothers in Arms, Earned in Blood for the Xbox, which was a huge mistake because I don't care how many people out there will want to flame me now, but playing a first-person shooter with dual analog sticks just doesn't work. I'm sorry. But otherwise, like, it's... I mean, to be fair, it's a great game underneath that. Like, it's a first-person shooter, another World War II first-person shooter. But it's got the premise of, like real squad combat. You actually control, like, people who are supporting you. And the whole idea is to command, like, suppressing fire and covering fire so you can go around the side and, like, cap somebody in the side of the head by flanking them. And that's kind of the premise of the whole game. But it's at least fresh as opposed to, like, the usual run-and-gun type of shit. So I only played a little bit of that, though. What I really want to speak a little bit about is this game from Fantagram Studios called Kingdom Under Fire Heroes. There's nothing especially remarkable about the gameplay or anything. It's kind of like Dynasty Warriors, except not as boring, where you've got like 57 million types of soldiers coming at you and you just kick the crap out of them. But it has a very slight strategy element. You can actually control, you know, a group of archers who are in the mountains and tell them to target someone while you rush them with your army, and then your leader, you actually take control of your leader while the archers are shooting, while the army's fighting, and your leader gets to kick some ass. So it's fun. It's like average fun, you know, good time waster. But the real kicker is this is like in a fantasy setting. You know, it's not a Japanese game. It's a Korean game. Korean people made this. So it's like
go Korea.
It's like in a fantasy setting, and you know, it's your typical like orcs and humans and all that stuff. Medieval shit, and you know, all that stuff with magic sprinkled in. When you actually get into battle, the music breaks out into this like super fast, like speed death metal that just like out of nowhere. It's just like you're walking, and you can kind of hear tones of it when you're walking if you actually pay attention. Like if you're directing your army to where the enemies are, like you start out just walking, you start out not fighting, you just walk towards the enemy, and it's maybe like a mile in game of walking until you get there, and you just hear kind of dun dun. And you're like, okay. And then when you finally break out into fight, it goes everywhere. And it's just like, where did that come from? It's like, especially if you're like, if I showed it to you guys, we just be playing it, and then all of a sudden you'd be like, "What the fuck did that come out of?" It's just really weird. I'm not gonna say it's not fitting, because even though it's a fantasy setting and you don't expect that kind of music, like, just the fact that you're wailing on like 70 enemies at a time, maybe okay, it's reasonable, but it's just, you know, astounding to hear it the first time. And it was actually one of the first things that I was looking for going into the game, because I had heard the review about it, and they were like, yeah, one of the most notable things about it is it just breaks out into death metal, like, randomly. And I was like, I gotta listen for this. And when I heard it, I was just, like, astounded. I'm like, Al must like this game.
I probably would, just for that.
It's bananas. But aside from that, little of Guitar Hero as usual, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. I gotta quit that game in time for Rock Band.
But, well, you know, Encore's coming out next Tuesday.
Yeah, but I don't want that. I don't want to pay $50 for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was hoping
not
that
for
maybe
Winger.
There'd be a deal or something.
Pirouette, oh, ballet, no. Winger, ballerina, dance.
We saw the video for that song, and all he does is like 16 of those stupid little spins.
Anybody out there who's wondering what the hell we're talking about, go on YouTube and YouTube Winger 17. The word 17, right?
Yeah,
okay,
the word.
That's where you find it. Yeah, and
In the first 5 seconds, he does that little ballerina spin.
He does a ballerina spin like twice in the first 5 seconds before he even plays a note. So, yeah, you enjoy playing that in Guitar Hero. You try doing that and watch like your PlayStation fall over because it's attached to the guitar.
Pussy.
Yeah. We are at the news, and we got a whole ton of news, most of it being E3, and a lot of stuff that happened around E3. First, the biggest news, the Sony price drop. There are like 4 or 5 stages to this thing. First, on Tuesday, I believe it was it June 12th or June 9th? July 9th, I'm sorry.
I think it was the 9th.
It was a week before E3, so yeah. It must have been like the 9th or the 8th or something. Price for the 60-gigabyte model dropped to $499, and I think we said as much. We said as much last week, but updates say that the 60-gigabyte model is being quote taken out to pasture, as Kotaku says. And here's the article from Kotaku's Luke Plunk et Plunk. According to SCEE, that's Sony Computer of Entertainment of Europe, President David Reeves, the now cheaper 60-gigabyte PlayStation 3 will be sold out in the U.S. by the end of the month. Once they're gone, no more, ever. All they're doing is taking their stock and trade that they've got at the moment of the 60-gigabyte model, marking down the price, and it will be gone by the end of July.
Cheerio.
Once that happens, he says, there'll just be the 80-gigabyte models, which cost $599. Yeah, and then there's a follow-up to this, also from Kotaku, by Brian Ashcraft, and he titled this article, "The Great 60-Gigabyte Phase-Out Clusterfuck." According to Sony Computer Entertainment Europe President David Reeves, that cheaper 60-gigabyte PlayStation player they will be gone, blah, 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 blah. Sony Computer Entertainment of America says, not so. A Sony spokesperson says, those quotes from David Reeves are not accurate. He said that if they had lowered the price in Europe, that territory would have run out of their current inventory by the end of July. Mm-hmm. As announced this week, SCEA's product offering in North America consists of an 80-gigabyte PS3 available in August at $599 and a 60-gigabyte PS3 available now for $499. We will have ample supplies of both models to meet the needs of our consumers for the foreseeable future. Keyword foreseeable. And then after that, we got confirmation from 1UP.com. Sony confirms PS3 price cut only temporary, but there's an update to this. At E3, they said it was true. I think Kaz Hirai, and Kotaku has a video of this, so you can find a whole bunch of E3 videos. One of them is Kaz Hirai confirming the 60-gigabyte price drop / phase out. Meanwhile, people are taking advantage of this at Amazon. This is for the week of July 10th.
Yeah, the day it dropped.
Yeah.
The Monday.
And, right. And Amazon shoppers love that cheaper 3, says Luke Plunk. From Kotaku. Shoppers love a bargain. They don't care if something costs $4.99. As long as it used to cost $5.99, they'll snap it up. Mm-hmm. And so we turn our attention towards Amazon's video game section, where after languishing in 26th place on their charts last week, the PS3 is now at number 1. which can be seen as a sign of good fortune for Sony, maybe, but really how many of you buy consoles from Amazon instead of Walmart, GameStop, or the relevant local affiliates? Can't be enough of these numbers to mean much of anything. Well, I know that they were having a deal where you could buy PS3 and you get a free controller with it, so I don't know. Moving up from 26 to 1 is kind of a big deal. And, like, with this news of the phase out, it's very tempting to get one because the backwards compatibility for the 80 gigabyte model is using software, so it's going to be GIMPed. And if anybody wants to get one now, they probably should, because then, you know, if you try to play what's some random PS2 game that you want to play in the PS3, it won't work. Mm-hmm. So.
Or PlayStation 1.
Or. Yeah, PlayStation 1. Well, no. I think PlayStation 1 was...
No. Yeah, the PlayStation 1 is probably one chip. They said it didn't have an emotion.
I think the PS1 games are integrated in there, like, natively, and it's not much of an expense at all. It's the PS2 chips that are killing them, and then they're getting rid of them. So if you see a 60-gigabyte model, buy it. Because then you might not be able to play random game X, like Tekken 5, which nobody cares about. Mm-hmm. That's not true. A lot of people care about it, but I don't.
Nerch.
This is news about Metal Gear Solid 4. First, they said that Konami was mulling over, considering a multi-platform Metal Gear Solid 4 from E3 News by the voice of Canada, Brendan Sinclair of GameSpot. Earlier this week, Sony dropped the price on its PS3 60-gig model from $599 to $499. Analysts responded favorably to the announcement, saying that it would put pressure on Microsoft to drop the price of its 360 system, the priciest configuration of which currently costs $479. But while analysts might think that the cut is enough to make the PS3 cost competitive, one of Sony's biggest publishing partners appears underwhelmed. Speaking with Reuters, Konami North American and European Operations head Kazumi Kitae expressed doubt. Quote, "I wonder if Sony can win back user support by the price cut of just $100, Kitae said, adding, quote, "I don't expect a substantial impact. With $500, you could buy a PC. But the Sony PS3 is a computer. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Kitae, no doubt, would like a cheaper PS3 in order to spike sales of the machine and have a larger installed user base in place for Konami's highly anticipated PS3 exclusive Metal Gear Solid 4, Gunzu of the Patriots. However, the executive said that Konami might have to bring the series to non-Sony systems in order to make its development money back. Since Metal Gear Solid was born for the PlayStation, we would like to keep it a PlayStation game, but we might have to take some steps. Now, the thing is, we don't know whether that means that the series is going multi-platform or just this game. The series has gone multi-platform before. We can play Metal Gear Solid 2 on the PC, and we can also play it on, I believe, the Xbox, the director's cut version, I think. Then during the E3 conference, Kojima basically came out and said, showed a trailer, and it said only for PS3. So I guess that answers that question. But it remains to be seen. I actually was watching one of those other E3 interviews on Kotaku again with Jack Tretton, and they were asking him about the MGS4 cross-platform possibility, and he goes, and, you know, he basically says, like, you know, for now, it's exclusive, and, like, we have it, it's only coming to PS3. And then he goes and says, you know, years down the line, I can't say for what happens, which basically is him covering his ass.
Right.
Because, you know, like, a year down the line, they might be like, you know what?
The whoring time.
Let's bring it out to...
We need money.
Yeah, exactly. We need to fucking whore this bitch out.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Quite honestly, those two systems are so similar that it makes no sense for me to have exclusives anymore unless they're first-party games. Right. I really think that should be the defining factor between all of them, like the first-party games. So, what's it called? Xbox has Halo and Gears of War. Sony has, like, God of War. They cater different audiences. But as far as the third-party games go, why not let everybody have the... This is what, you know, people were talking about with Devil May Cry 4. People getting so pissed that, oh, it's going to Xbox 360. Let's sign a petition.
Who cares?
Who cares? It's a good game. Let people play it.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, whatever. And I can understand the long-term ramifications, but, I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Well, let me ask you personally. You see the visuals for the Xbox 360 as compared to the PlayStation 3. Don't you think the PlayStation 3's graphics are a little bit darker?
In some cases, not in all. I don't know. Like, from what I've seen, I've always said that I've never seen anything on the PS3 that couldn't be done on the 360.
Right.
At the same time, that's nothing to sneeze at, because the 360 can pull off some amazing shit. So they're both great. As far as it being darker, I don't know. I would have to scrutinize it a little bit more. I've only seen videos online mostly, and I've only seen a PS3 in person like a couple of times. So right. I'd have to do a side by side, so I don't know, but right. I wouldn't doubt it. They were saying that the Xbox 360 version of the Darkness actually mm-hmm. looks better. It has like motion blur and better particle effects, and the PS3 version doesn't. But I attribute that more to the fact that the PS3 is hard to develop for, not that it's a piece of shit. You know what I mean? So if you make a game for the PS3 from the ground up, it will probably look better on the PS3. You make it for the Xbox 360 from the ground up, it'll look better on the 360. Unless the developers take the time to work with the PS3. And the chat top is saying Skype. He changed it to my right nut is phasing out my 60 GB left nut. Okay. Moving on with the Metal Gear Solid 4 news. Kojima says it'll be his last from nextgen.biz. Hideo Kojima has confirmed that Metal Gear Solid 4 will be the last game in the series he's involved with, and that the latest outing for Solid Snake will act as a grand finale for the influential stealth games. The story of a Solid Snake will end, Kojima said, and all the mysteries of the series will be revealed in Metal Gear Solid 4. He went on to explain that it'll be a stealth game but takes players into the battlefield, and he promised that he's putting all his effort and experience into the title. A new Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer that was shown revealed it'll be out in early 2008 with a worldwide simultaneous release. Sony said it'll only be on the PS3. Now, we've heard this before. Kojima has said he doesn't want to work on any more Metal Gear Solid games as early as Metal Gear Solid 3. Then right. he got death threats. Rabid fans saying, if you don't make a new Metal Gear Solid, I will kill you.
Wow.
Or if you're not making
French.
It.
And are you saying that was a catalyst for him coming back? I doubt that.
Well, he was pressured. I mean, I won't say that it was just the death threats, but I'm sure he was pressured to come back to make Metal mm-hmm. Gear Solid 4.
Or maybe he was given something lucrative to come back.
Or maybe he was given something lucrative.
Yeah.
But I honestly do think that, like, these... Yeah, money, but, like, I'm sure that he's so rich at this point, and he's so sick of doing these games.
Probably.
If he's definitely going to end the series with this storyline, I don't see how they could bring him back unless they make him do a side story. Mm-hmm. Of course, the fans will eat it all up, but then in 10 years, you're going to be like, Kojima-san, could you make a new Metal Gear Solid game? We miss it. And he'll be like,
yeah.
Oh, fine. You know?
Either that, or he might just miss it himself. He might just
give it to someone else.
Feel. Yeah, no, well, he'll just miss the feel of working on a epic game
right.
like that, you know? And, you know, it's like all the when they say Final Doom, you know? It was like, oh, no, we're never going to work on this again, you know? That's it. This is the last Doom. And then they were like, well, we could do Doom 64, you know? But this was years later.
That's more of a port as opposed to...
No, I totally understand, but it's kind of the same principle. They don't really... Were they going after originality in other games and found that they... really couldn't do anything because their cash cow was Doom, you know, so why not do another Doom? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Doom 64 wasn't really another Doom. It was just people wanted to play it on a different system, so they ported it over. They didn't really make a new game, but then they made Doom 3.
Right.
Which wasn't right. very good. I'm sorry.
No, but neither was Doom 64.
Yeah, you know, I know.
The graphics were a little bit enhanced.
That's just due to technical limitations.
Yeah, that's because it's the N64. I still own it. I don't care. I like it.
But anyway, in Kojima's case, years down the line, he may see that you know something else, some other things aren't panning out. It might just you know, hey, I could do this.
He just needs.
I've done it in the past. I'll do it again.
He needs to bring Snatcher to the USA. Mm-hmm. That's all I gotta say. Again, because he's brought it before with the Sega CD, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So, moving on, there's a whole bunch of rhythm game news. First, Al, do you want to read the track list for the Wii rhythm game from EA called Boogie?
No.
I'll read it then.
It's a whole bunch of like old 70s tracks, which are pretty cool, but you'll never catch me dead singing them.
Because as you know, in Boogie, you can sing and you can also wave your arms like a maniac with the Wii remote. Here's a track listing. Black Eyed Peas. Let's get it started. Yay, Black Eyed Peas.
Totally overrated.
Black Eyed Pea My Own Leg on Stage. Blondie, One Way or Another. Britney Spears, I'm a Slave for You. Britney Spears, oops, I did it again. The B-52s, Love Shack. Carl Douglas, Kung Fu Fighting. Chic, God. Le Freak. The Commodores, Brick House. Culture Club, Karma Chameleon. Cyndi Lauper's Girls, oh my God. Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. Daft Punk's One More Time. Oh boy, D-Light's Groove is in the Heart.
Overplayed.
Space Channel 5. Fergie.
Fergalicious. Yep.
Fergie, Fergalicious, Pee on My Own Leg again.
Yeah.
Gypsy King's, is it Bela or Bila Me? I don't know.
I think it's Bottom Man.
Okay. Jackson 5, ABC, Dancing Machine, and I Want You Back. Jamiroquai's Canned Heat and Virtual Insanity. Jennifer Lopez's Get Right. She's a waste of space in all things. Katrina and the
like
Waves.
Shapiro.
Walking on Sunshine.
Okay. Oh,
Casey and the Sunshine Band. That's the way I like it. Khalees, Milkshake. Cool and the Gang Celebration. Okay, that, yeah. Oh, boy. Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5.
Oh, God.
M's... Martha Reeves and the Vandellas Dancing in the Street. MC Hammer, Can't Touch This.
God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, from the depths of bankruptcy, he comes back again. Can't touch this.
Pink, Get the Party Started. Pussycat Dolls featuring Busta, why did you lower yourself to this?
God.
Don't Ya. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Love Roller Coaster. Rihanna, SOS. Simply Red, Stars. Sister Sledge's We Are Family. Great. That's a cross-dressing song if I ever heard one. Taste of Honey's Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Oh, God.
Talia's...
Boogie Oogie Oogie, till you just can't boogie no more.
Talia's Tu y Yo, the Village People's YMCA. That goes along really well with We Are Family. Yeah. The Weather Girls' It's Raining Men, which also goes well with YMCA and We Are Family. So I'm not going to be buying Boogie. That's what it comes down to. More music news. Rock band tracks announced. And this one you have to read, Al, because this is what...
Yeah, that's right. Because under the Needs More Cowbell section, which of course refers to Blue Ace the Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper, which is included in this game.
Okay.
You've got 16 tracks already announced for Rock Band, and we've got The Who, Won't Get Fooled the Game, which is good. Mountain, which is going to be a studio cover. Mississippi Queen. David Bowie, Suffragette City.
I heard them play that at the E3 show. It was pretty cool. Well, go ahead, keep going.
Cool. Yeah, David Bowie's weird as hell. Black Sabbath, Paranoid, which unfortunately is a studio cover.
Oh,
really?
Don't Fear the Reaper. Rockaway Beach, which was leaked on a screenshot. Rush's Tom Sawyer, which unfortunately is going to be a studio cover.
Damn it!
Yeah. Bon Jovi's Wanted Dead or Alive.
That should be a studio, right?
I think that... No, that one is...
Really?
Yeah, only Mountain, Sabbath, and Rush are covers. Everything else is original. Bon Jovi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Straight up, cut your balls off singing.
Yeah,
too bad they don't have Living on a Prayer. That's when you get a low balls.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's... Living on a Prayer!
I'm nuts right now. I don't care.
You know?
I have to deal with this with my wife.
We got In Bloom from Nirvana, which is pretty good three-piece. Vaseline. Yeah. Flowers in the Vaseline, we are.
What sex type thing was so much better. Why Vaseline?
Oh, I don't know.
They might well, here's the thing. They're doing album downloads.
Oh, okay.
So you might, like, if you're lucky, you might get, like, an STP album and get the entire album, and maybe it'll have the songs you like in it, which is actually really cool. They announced that The Who is already on board to provide one of their albums.
Drop. First week is going to be The Who's Next.
Right, right.
That's going to be the first album available.
Wow.
I interrupted. Sorry, keep on going with Weezer, yeah.
It's all right. Weezer, Say It Ain't So, Foo Fighters, Learn to Fly, mm-hmm. The Hives, Main Offender, Strokes, Reptilia, Queens of Stone Age. You could go with the flow.
Power chord.
Really doesn't matter which chord.
But Al, you forgot something. What song is left?
Yes, last but least.
Not least.
An announcement that has shocked the world, that had had rabid fans just grabbing for stuff.
And we have a rabid fan of our own.
Yeah, they signed with Metallica so that they could have Metallica tracks. And the inaugural track is Enter Sandman. So I'm looking forward to seeing more tracks from Metallica!
Not Metallica.
Metallica!
Yeah, Metallica from the 80s, not Metallica from the 90s.
Oh, is that Metallica?
Yeah, it's Metallica.
Old and tired.
Ladies and gentlemen, Metallica! You know, whereas back in the days when they were doing Battery and shit like that, it was like, get ready to get your ass rocked! It's Metallica! And everybody's like,
yeah, it's Master Shake, I'ma rock your face!
That's what I'm referring to whenever I say it like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
The newer stuff is okay, I like it, but a lot of people don't, but it's definitely not as replayable as the old stuff.
Right.
Like, I can rock around and listen to Master Puppets all day long, uh-huh. over and over and over again, uh-huh. but I'll get tired if I listen to Load and Reload over and over again.
Right. What about the Black Album?
I could listen to that album really? Over and over again. Yeah, because there are a lot of tracks that I just like. Uh-huh. That was the first album I was put on to, so
actually, me different. Too. Yeah, that was my inaugural thing. Yeah.
So let's see what else we got here. We got Rock Band Steven Zett, aka Little Steven, aka
Silvio Dante from The Sopranos.
Huh?
Oh, you don't watch The Sopranos. Heading in a,
Sure,
no.
I do.
Oh, okay. Silvio, huh? Silvio's played by Little Steven from E Street Band. So he is heading an advisory board to make songs available for Rock Band, basically. So.
That's the guy that always wears a
bandana. Yeah, the bandana. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This is from IGN, PS3 IGN, by Eric Bridvig. to help lighten the work, Harmonix has its work cut out for itself. Not only is the company in the midst of creating blah, 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 it also has to select the fist-pumping track list for the game and the 100 downloadable songs that it has set as its goal for the first year.
Wow,
so,
awesome.
To help lighten the workload and ensure quality throughout, Harmonix and MTV Games have announced the formation of a music advisory board. This group, chaired by Steven Van Zandt, will help the dev team in the artist, album, and track selection process. The Harmonix team is honored to have a musician and producer of Little Steven's stature involved in the music selection for Rock Band, said Alex Rogopoulos, co-founder and CEO of Harmonix. Steven's expertise is vast, from his status as a founding member of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band.
There you go.
There.
Congratulations.
His encyclopedic knowledge of the rock music history and well-known skill at pulling people together. He is a perfect choice to lead the team to steer us through the thousands of musical choices we are currently facing. So that's kind of comforting. It's not just guys just selecting songs when they can and you know, because you know.
Or suits.
Yeah, you know, not only that, but like even if the non-suits select them, like you can only go so far with the licensing. Like some people may like, no, you can't use the song. So I guess with someone of Steven Van Zandt's stature and like clout in the industry, maybe they'll be like, oh, sure, yeah. So yeah. I just know that that's someone that Guitar Hero doesn't have. And speaking of which, the Guitar Hero track pack number 4 is released. Again, for $6.25. Again, with 3 songs that you can't select individually. And those songs happen to be ones that I don't care about in terms of Guitar Hero 2. The official tracks included are I Want to Be Sedated, as made famous by the Ramones, Smoke on the Water, as made famous by Deep Purple, and You've Got Another Thing Coming, as made famous by Judas Priest. Not that these songs are bad, but the ones that I want to download for Xbox 360 are the ones that had the crazy-ass hammer-on pull-off techniques that you just couldn't pull off in the first game. Those are the ones I want to download. I don't want to download this. And I... Sorry.
I hear
especially
you,
those two of those songs are off of the first... the first set, so they're really, really
yeah,
really
exactly.
Like, I Want to Be Sedated is the first song, I think. Oh, no, the second song.
I Want to Rock, no, I'm sorry, I Love Rock and Roll is the first song, and then I Want to Be Sedated is like the second one. And I think Smoke on the Water
Smoke
is also
is
the first one.
One.
You Got Another Thing Coming is second one, right? Second set?
Second or the third.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So it's easy songs.
Best $6 I ever spent.
Again, for people who don't own Guitar Hero 1, that's fine. But I do, you know? And it's like, ugh. I'm still not sold on the idea of making us pay for songs you don't want if you just want a single song. But moving on, off the music tip, E3 news. We'll start off with Wii. Reggie Fils-Aimé, in the horrible, horrible press conference, if any of you saw the E3 press conference for Nintendo, it was one of the worst I've ever seen in my entire life. but Reggie unveiled the Check Me Out channel. Basically, players will be able to put their Miis on display and compare them with the world. Your Wii friends will be able to vote on your Mii creations. Great.
Mm.
AKA hot or not for Wii. Mm-hmm. Gonna download it, never gonna use it.
No.
Yeah, just in case they charge for it in the future.
Yeah. Wii getting fit. That was a big announcement of the press conference, which another thing that just did not move me. Wii Fit. Which Ethan's been saying about the whole, you know, casual and elderly market and getting, you know, fitness things, fitness peripherals, and, like, it's a great idea from a business standpoint, and, I mean, I'm sure it'll do fine. I'm sure it'll sell in droves. But me? I'm sorry, I don't want it. I like games. This is a balance board where, kind of like the Wii Remote, like, you stand on it and do some, like, shit to make yourself fit. Things like, they have mini games that, like, kind of mimic yoga, like, you're supposed to, like, stand on one foot and do things, and it's actually pretty cool. The fact that it detects, you know, your
Someone's gonna break a hip.
But it's cool. You know, it detects your body mass index, and it can detect the shift in your balance, and yeah, all kinds of things. And they had this demo where it was like a soccer goalie, and your goal was to, like, you know, hit soccer balls by shifting your weight, and it worked. Mm. But I'm sorry, I don't want it. It's not.
Are you sensing gimmick?
It's not for me. No, I'm not. Because
okay. No, it's just not for him.
Okay.
Like, I would get it.
Gimmick to me is something that, like, it just does one thing and it's there and it goes away. It's like the right. Super Scope, or it's like yep. those Zavix games. That's why I'm like, you know, I really can't stand it when people call the Wii Remote or the DS a gimmick, because it's still around and it's using it to, you know, mm-hmm. not to the fullest potential, but it's making good use of it and it works. I'm sorry, it just right. does. So anybody who says gimmick, smack you in the face. Cock smack. But Wii Fit, not a gimmick, but not a purchase for me. But you can be sure that that's probably going to make a lot of money. So, I don't know. Oh, and Slunks has sent me an IM. Break dance breakdown of the Roosevelts in honor of you misspelling Roosevelt last time.
Yeah.
Roosevelts.
Yeah. Roosevelts. He says, hi! Thanks, Slunks. Moving on. We like gun zapping in. I have a whole big editorial on why I'm not so sure about this thing, but they announced the Wii Zapper peripheral, which is a piece of plastic that will come with software. It'll retail for $20. And basically, it lets you snap in your nunchuck and your remote into this device that makes it feel like you're kind of holding an Uzi or a Steyr Temp kind of gun.
Interesting.
Which would probably feel cool, but like, I think my whole issue with it is when you... And a lot of people didn't understand what I was going for in my editorial. And they're like, you're wrong, you're stupid, you hate Nintendo. I'm like, shut up, you don't know anything.
Stupid.
I got it immediately.
Yeah, the idea is that when you see something like that, your first impression is like, oh, sweet, a gun, right? And you feel like you can point it at the screen like a light gun. So the target market that they're going for, which is to say, like, you know, the casual audience that Reggie was saying, oh, we'll make shooters easy for them with this gun. You know, they think that they can pick it up and use it. And you can't. It works just like the Wii Remote. You have to point it to the sensor. You can't just point it down the screen and aim it like you would like a real gun down the barrel, which is what you do for things like House of the Dead in the arcade. So you can't do that this time around because it's a Wii Remote. But in putting that into such a device that looks so friendly to use, you think that you can do it. So, you know, after you figure out that, oh, you know, it doesn't work this way, I'm going to have to shoot from the hip, and then you start thinking, well, what's the point of this if I can't, like, aim it and shoot it like a, you know, like a real gun? What's the point? It's not that it's bad, but it's like, why not just save the $20 and use the Wii Remote? Like that, mm-hmm. I just, you know, that's the way I feel about it. But I'm sure it'll sell. I'm sure people will like it, and, like, I wouldn't be opposed to using it for some games. I just don't think I want it. You know, I don't want to buy it because I'm comfortable with the Wii Remote as it is. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just wish that the whole technology had been thought through a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd have to try it
yeah.
before anything.
There have been first impressions from people that say it hurts their shoulders and shit. So,
like Brian yeah. Crescente.
Yeah. It's just that they, you know, that was the first thing, one of the first things they announced at E3, and they're like, oh, it's the second coming of Christ. And I'm like, no, it's not. But moving on, more Nintendo. Wii Mario Kart is going to come in 2008, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll have online play. And then they showed a snippet of it, and it looked like a GameCube game. Moving on.
Yep.
Mario Galaxy blasts off November 12th. Looks awesome. And that's coming November 12th. Smash Brothers Brawl will come out on December 3rd. All you Smash Brothers fanatics can go get it. I'll definitely get it, but I will probably not play it much because it's a party game for me.
Exactly.
But it's coming December 3rd. It'll be the perfect Christmas gift.
My life's going to change that day. I'm going to be just constantly playing that game with my dudes from the clan.
Oh, one thing. They have an Animal Crossing stage that if you play on it at 8 p.m.
Saturday night
at 8 p.m., yep. KK Slider. What is it? KK Slider or something else Slider?
Well, his name is Total KK, but he calls himself KK Slider.
Okay, he's going to play music, I guess, while you... Whatever.
Yeah, because they do that in Animal Crossing. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, they have a little concert every weekend in the game.
Sony at E3 now. NCSoft, purveyors of fine, massively multiplayer online games. Teams with Sony. Wow. That's kind of huge. They're South Korea-based MMOG publisher bringing several exclusive unannounced games to the PS3 and the PSP. This is by Tom Magrino from GameSpot. Let's see.
Hopefully they don't suck like Auto Assault.
Hey, I heard Auto Assault was good. It's just that nobody paid attention to it.
Yeah, and now it's not even being used anymore.
And auto assault's going to be canned at August 31st, and that and all of you people who didn't play it are to blame, me included, because I don't like MMOs. But during the conference, the mega publisher also announced an exclusive partnership with South Korea-based massively multiplayer online aficionados NCSoft to create several online games for PS3 and the PlayStation Portable. Sony also has its in-house Sony Online Entertainment developing games for the PlayStation Network. I wonder how that'll pan out. But they've done some good stuff, though, right? I mean, I'm not familiar with the genre, but I know that they have, like, a niche of fans, like
NC?
Yeah.
Well, they got City Heroes. They got Lineage.
Lineage, yeah.
They got
City of Villains.
Guild Wars, I think. No.
Guild Wars is Arena Net, I think.
It's Arena, yeah. It's not NC. Lineage.
Aren't they doing Huxley?
I don't know.
I think they're doing Huxley. Huxley is a MMO first-person shooter, which sounds kind of cool, but I don't want to rely on other people. But let me look it up here. Huxley, NCSoft.
They had some other like fantasy games and stuff that weren't so popular, and they had Auto Assault, and that's just in a class by itself.
Oh wait! I'm sorry. Let's see. Unless this article is wrong, Huxley is no. Guild Wars is NCSoft. You're right. I think ArenaNet is the developer.
Yeah. I thought it was completely unrelated.
And Huxley is WebZen. I've never heard of WebZen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving on. More Sony. The new PSP model is on the way, but there's no second analog stick. It's basically slimmer. It's slimmer by 19%, which means it's negligible. It's lighter by 33%, which is kind of good because I'd like a lighter PSP. And it has TV out, which at first I laughed at, but at the same time I'm like, you know what? All those suckers who bought UMDs can now actually watch them on a TV.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that's something. And like, I guess for the people who are at home who want to play the PSP on a TV screen, because if you're at home, why play it on a tiny screen?
Yeah.
That's why I bought a Game Boy, GameCube player. Then they have the opportunity. But you can't do any cool things like make it stretch or cropped or do it like do any filters on it. Like how the Game Boy GameCube player can do
smoother
video filters on it to make it sharper or stuff like that. This doesn't have any of that. Maybe it's not needed, but I don't know. I like options. More Sony. We already covered this. MGS4 delayed until 2008. And it's exclusive to Sony for now, blah blah blah. Unreal Tournament 3, which looks awesome, is exclusive to the PS3 and PC until 2008.
Well,
when it will be coming to Xbox 360, probably.
Yeah, as long as it's out for PC, that's fine. Not that I'll be necessarily getting it, but right.
That's where you want it.
That's where I want it.
Yeah. Mouse, FTW. I think this is the last piece of Sony news. Killzone 2 officially due in 2008. Everybody remembers that Target render in E3 of 2005, which looked amazing, and everybody was skeptical that the real-time graphics would not match it. Well, they're right. The real-time graphics do not match it. But, I mean, that doesn't mean anything bad because it still looks freaking good. Like, if you watch the Killzone trailer, it looks really good. It looks about on par with Gears of War, which already I think is one of the best-looking games out there. And
right.
I'm happy for them that they were able to live up to that. They didn't live up to the trailer, but they lived up to something.
Mm-hmm.
Not the trailer, but something. Anyway, moving on to Microsoft. Gears of War and Viva Piñata headed for PCs. And the kicker is Gears of War will have 5 additional chapters for the PC.
Which means nice. Double the game.
Which means mm-hmm. double the game, and it's not Vista exclusive. It can run on XP, and that's awesome. That means I'll be buying it again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I'll be buying this one.
I will definitely be buying it.
And then because you have multiplayer
that's
co-op.
That's right, and then we'll fuck each other up.
Yeah. And then they have that boss fight. What was the name of that monster?
Oh, I don't know. Fuck, some big thing.
Some big thing named B.
With
the burn to something or other. And I guess it was
the
in the game.
The burn to something?
I don't remember. It was something
the
that started with a B. And,
the burn to something.
I guess it was something that was in the game, probably in a cutscene or something. Was it? I don't know. Austin, you did finish Gears of War, right?
Cutscene. It was in a cutscene.
It was in a cutscene. Now you actually get to fight it.
Yeah. That shit looks amazing.
Yeah, it's fucking monstrous.
Yeah. Moving on, Microsoft readying a Halo-themed Xbox 360, which is HDMI ready.
Yay.
It looks like crap.
It looks like somebody poured that the stuff that was inside the Game Boy screen, the original Game Boy screen.
The spinach?
And he poured it onto the Xbox.
let me see here. It is HDMI ready. It's the it's a meld between the premium and the elite. It has a 20 gigabyte hard drive, but it also is HDMI ready. And what's the price for this thing? It doesn't have a price. I'm willing to bet it's just going to be $400. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Ugly as hell.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Like, oh, God.
Somebody just vomited all over the Xbox 360 and said, hey, low.
Low? Low?
No, I'm sorry. No, hey, I'm sorry. That is a gimmick. Just the outside casing. The HDMI, but the Halo casing, come on. Do we really need that?
People gonna buy that.
They
shit
always
up.
They do that for everything though. I mean, Nintendo does the stupid Pokemon DSs and shit. It's like, come on.
Yep, yeah. They make it like spinach green, soup green.
No, but some of them are ugly yellow colors.
Yeah.
I think I saw a yellow Pokemon Game Boy once and I'm like, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Then there were a whole bunch of Game Boy Advance SPs that were like factory rejects that they kind of I'm making fun of it now. Maybe it's not a factory reject, but it looked like factory rejects that they tried to sell. Like the top would be blue and the bottom was black. They're like, "Ooh, new dual colors." I'm like, "All right, who screwed this up at the factory?" And then one was like red and one was like yellow or something. I'm like, "What?"
Yeah.
But the last piece of news from E3, I'm sure there's much more, but this is what I had lined up. Silent Hill 5 coming to 360 and PS3, which makes you guys happy. Hopefully they'll make up for The Room.
Well, The Room wasn't that bad.
The Room wasn't bad, but it wasn't, like, as intriguing.
It definitely wasn't, like, the regular... Well, they wanted to do a tangent. You know, they wanted to keep the Silent Hill thing, but they included this... you know, mysterious room, which you have to interact with. And, you know, once the storyline changes, so does the room in some respects.
I mean, and to be honest, like, I don't mind, like, I didn't mind the premise. I just thought that, like, for as much, as far as we played, because maybe you guys beat it, but I only played it for the couple hours that you did. Uh-huh. Because I was with you guys.
No, we didn't beat it. No, we definitely did not beat it. Yeah. No.
But it's like, it kind of devolved into, like, hub and spoke. Go here, go back, go here, go back. I would have liked for the room to grow and be bigger, maybe, and then do some crazy shit. But then it became like go into this hole, and now you're in this thing, and now you go back to the room, and I have to solve this. So it wasn't really the room; it was Silent Hill 4, the room, and a bunch of other shit.
Right, right. It was also it did break up the action quite a bit. You know, when you have to try to figure out puzzles inside the room and figure out all this, you know, you're supposed to be scared, and the room has freak out images and stuff like that, but definitely not like the game is, you know. So it broke up the action, kind of made it, you know, like, okay, if we finish this mission, once we go back to the room, we'll call it quits.
Right.
That's how it was, you know. So whereas regularly we'd be like, okay, once we get to another save point, we're gonna take a break, we'll have a smoke, we'll come back upstairs, you know, and you know, and then continue. But you know, it's just like, okay, we're back in the room. I really don't want to figure out shit right now.
Right, right.
So that's it. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I think that's it for the E3 news. I mean, I was likely the only one who really saw E3, so I'll just put in my 2 cents here. Nintendo press conference, shit. Microsoft press conference, a bunch of stuff that we already knew about, except for the Halo thing, and they didn't say anything about anything past 2007. I like to hear about the future at E3, so Microsoft gets a in my book. Sony actually had a pretty good conference in relation to that. They actually did what I thought they should have done. They highlighted some of their first-party exclusives. They had a smooth presentation. They really didn't focus on the numbers, obviously, because they're getting killed in the market, but they didn't sit there and go, PlayStation DNA, blah, 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 55 million sales, blah, 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 we are the best. You know, they humanize themselves a little bit. And the games they put out, you know, third-party ones, same as 360, but, you know, forward-looking to the future, yeah, I mean, it looks pretty good. The new PSP, nothing to sneeze at, but nothing to shout about either.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, they can't really add a second analog stick without alienating the entire base of PSP users currently, right?
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, overall, I don't think they were spectacular, but I think they were the winners of the press conference show. Obviously, E3 is not all about the press conference. I have to stress that. A lot of people are like, oh, this person lost. It's not all about the press conference. The press conference is a huge part of it.
I don't even see how the winners and losers were press conferences, but... That's me.
Right.
Well, no, you can have winners and losers in terms of what you reveal, how you reveal it, how excited you get people for it, how interested you get the investors and the retailers in it. That there's a win and loss in there. And Nintendo kind of lost because their presentation was clumsy. Mm. The footage for the anticipated games they showed had like Bill Trinan was, as he usually does, was talking over all of it. and it had some dumb, you know, gamer chick, you know, demoing Metroid Prime 3, okay? It was like 60 seconds of demo. He was talking, and, like, you saw nothing really revolutionary in it, and, like, it was like, just give me a 2-minute big, fat piece of footage. Just let me see it. That's all I want to do. And then, things like that, when you're showing off stuff, you have to do it in the right way, and that's how you win or lose, and Nintendo lost.
You know, I'm thinking that the reason why they've had all the on-stage stuff is because with the Wii, you have to see the people doing the stuff.
That's fine, but then give me a big chunk of gameplay that I can just watch afterwards.
Right.
Like, I think they did that with Zelda. They showed, like, a Zelda thing, and then they said, now to demo Zelda is Bill Trinan, you know?
Right,
And Nate Bildhorf or something like that. Or maybe they didn't, but, like, they had showed Zelda already, and, like,
they had showed Zelda, and then they had Bill and Nate come out, and that was when they did the that thing with the arrows and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing, the Mario Kart flyby, it was like, Reggie was like, I can announce that Mario Kart for Wii will have online play, and will be coming in 2008. Pause for applause. More like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, waiting.
No, but they didn't applaud at all during that
conference.
Yeah,
I know.
It was so dead.
And then, like, they showed, like, 2 seconds... While he was saying that, they showed 2 seconds of footage from Mario Kart Wii, and it looked like a GameCube game. And that was it. Why not say, I have a special announcement. Show the footage for maybe 30 seconds, at least. Okay, so what it looks like a GameCube game. You just put it on screen, and then say, Mario Kart, 2008, online. And then he doesn't have to sit there, wait for applause or anything. Just show the trailer. Show something more. I'm just disappointed in their performance this year. It was horrible. But any other remarks, or can we move on to the bag of deuce?
Bag of deuce!
Let's deuce it out.
We are now at the bag of feces. Who wants to go first, Al?
Oh, it stinks. It stinks so bad. My bag of deuce is for the PlayStation, Grandstream Saga. I have no face.
No face saga.
No face saga. It was an okay game. It was like
but
a
they had no faces.
Like, yeah, basically, the whole reason why it was a bag of shit is because it was an okay hack and slash, kind of like Zelda with Dungeon Crawler and stuff like that. Pretty good story. The game ran at 60 frames per second, but the characters had no faces. And
wow.
I actually suffered through that entire game. And the reason why it's my bag of shit is because I got my PlayStation games back from my friend, and I saw that in there. I said, oh my god, that game is a piece of shit. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow.
Just on the merit of that alone, it deserves to be in the bag. Tony, what's your bag of deuce?
Oh, it's on the Nintendo. It's Karate Champ.
Oh, goodness.
Compared to
that game, it is a piece
anybody
of shit.
Knows, anybody knows... Hey, easy. Anybody, if anybody knows that the arcade version of Karate Champ had two joysticks, which you control the guys with, and different positions of the joystick make different moves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They tried to do this on the Nintendo utilizing two buttons, two buttons, a fucking digital pad, and a whole bunch of bullshit. Let's just put it this way. You can't turn around. The only way you could turn around is to do a spin kick.
Yep.
Oh my god, that's terrible!
The only way you can turn around is by doing a spin kick.
The computer turns around on a fucking dime. You have to do a spin
kick. I'm glad I never played this then.
Dude, it was, and the voice acting? Woo!
What's the NES?
Poor
George! Very good!
I don't think my bag of dung can match up, but I don't know if any of you guys have ever played this game called The Adventures of Dino Ricky.
I've heard of Dino Ricky.
Okay, imagine a space shoot 'em up, an auto-scrolling space shmup. Instead of a spaceship, you're a Neanderthal, and instead of space, it's in Neanderthal land, and you're shooting dinosaurs with copies of yourself.
So it's like The Adventures of Dino
Cloner
Kagemaru.
Literally, you're running along. Okay, and first of all, is the premise that like it's not a space shooter, but it's auto scrolling. So Dino Ricky is moving by himself forward, and you. It's really dumb. It's like Gradius with a Neanderthal, except Gradius was good, and in Gradius you don't throw replicas of yourself at the enemy.
Mm. It's Rickius.
It's Rickius. You just
like Parodius.
It's like there's Neanderthals all over the screen. And
Neanderthalius.
I think when I had played it, and maybe this is just because I was younger, but when I had played it, I was in like sixth grade, fifth grade, and my reflexes were kind of shit. So like they still are now. And I couldn't get past like the first 5 minutes of the game. It was just so bad. I think I'm gonna like try to find that now, maybe at a 99-cent store, and try it again just
Listen,
for the hell of it.
I wouldn't get past the first 5 minutes on principle. That
shit's not Look, I'm throwing pieces of myself at you. It's me.
It's a piece of shit.
Me. It's kind of like in Zelda where you quote unquote throw your sword. Except you are your sword. Moving on, we have a reader bag of shit from Aiden. Enter the Matrix.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I don't think that needs any explanation. That was a.
I went through it. It was pretty bad. I agree.
Buggy piece of crap. I played it on the PC. The combat was horrible, and like there was no like it was. It had the cool bullet time effect, but that was it. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he says Disney's action game featuring Hercules.
What is he talking about there?
He's probably talking about Hercules or something, but he doesn't want to say it, so he says Disney's action game featuring Hercules.
Well, you know, because also Kingdom Hearts features Hercules.
But I don't think he's talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Let's hope not, because those are actually
games. Those are actually pretty good games, besides the fact that there's hoops to jump through and stuff like that. But still.
Oh, especially on part two. Let's not talk about that.
This bag stinks. Let's drop it. Bag of mails. Aiden has a plethora of questions for us. We got to pick and choose here, Aiden, because it's a long thing. But when I was listening to episode 53, Wu-Tex's question in particular, the emulation stuff, I thought of something. What about buying games on eBay or used at GameStop? You may be paying money for it, but the people who made the game aren't getting any of it. That's a very good point.
But they got their money on the first run.
Yeah, but
they should get the money on the second run, too. That's why on the backs of the cartridges or on the fronts of the cartridges or in the backs of the manuals, it says not for resale.
Right.
Technically, this is why I don't understand how GameStop and EB Games have not been sued to fucking hell. How are they able to resell games? Mm. And I've even seen one EB Games resell PC games. And that's just
I remember that, and then they stopped.
That's how I got my Morrowind. I bought Morrowind used
for like
$10
EB
Games, and I was like,
I was there with you when you got it.
Yeah, you were there with me, and I was like, wait a minute, couldn't somebody have just bought this game,
copied it,
burned it, and then sold it back? And it's like, okay, now EB Games is making most of the money off of this resale, and the Bethesda, and I don't remember who was publishing Morrowind, but. Those people don't get any money out of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, now there's this big whole used game market. We covered that in a previous podcast.
Yeah, the Thrift Seekers. And, I wrote
it's
a little piece about
how,
that.
How are the publishers not going after these guys' throats? I don't get it. There's probably a clause or something.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm guilty of buying used games because I'm a cheapskate. But, I try to stay with new games only because, like, I do think if the game is good, they deserve my money. But if it's not good, then no, they don't deserve my money.
That's right, yeah. Absolutely.
And that's why I still do use games sometimes. It's like, well, if it's not, it's not worth it. I don't know. Right. Also, thanks for reading the topic suggestions and review on the air. Well, thank you for the review. I had the idea that I would send you guys questions for the topics I suggested. I'm not doing all of them. Okay. What effect will we and casual gaming have on the gaming landscape? Do you think the amount of resources spent on casual games by developers and publishers will damage their reputation with the heavy spending on hardcore games? High-spending cardboard gamers. I'll tell you this. I'm probably sure that they'll make so much money from the casual shit that they'll have enough money to do all the other stuff. Mm-hmm.
They just have to do it.
They just have to do it, yeah. And that's not a matter of, like, Nintendo ruining shit, which I totally don't believe in. I think they're ruining stuff for their own space, but they have nothing to do with Sony and Microsoft. I'm sure that they will try to emulate Nintendo's success, but there is still a market for hardcore games. And as long as there is a market for hardcore games, the games will be supplied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but to be quite frank, like, it's their own fault for trying to be like, oh, high-definition games, blah, 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 we'll charge $60 for each game because it takes $50 million to make a game. I don't think you need to have $50 million games. I'm sorry. Like, I could have used GameCube, Xbox, and PS2 for another 4 years. Wait for the technology to mature, wait for it to become cost effective and then do it. But whatever. I mean, I still think there's a market for it, so I don't think. I think it'll have a huge effect in that you'll see a lot of casual games now, but like, and the ratio will be in favor of casual games, but that doesn't mean the absolute number of hardcore games that are good, keyword good, will drop.
Right.
You know, but what are your guys' thoughts?
You know, just kind of looking at this is an aside.
Uh-huh.
These look like potential topics we're
right.
talking about, so we might not need to go in depth with a lot of.
Well, they are the topics. They are the topics.
Yeah, I think that there are things that we can like save. Like right. we'll just mention them, and then you know, 1 week we'll just do that. Pull it out of the hat and talk about.
Put
that
it out
for
your
15, 20 minutes. Put it out your ass. So I really don't want to say anything about it now.
Okay. This next one's short. I mean, yeah. Flash games and their impact on gamers. He has something very interesting. He has an anecdote. One of his friends who was 17. He's 17 now, and when his friend was 15, he was offered a job by THQ after they played his Flash games. They're called Magnetism and Magnetism 2. You can look those up. But yeah, that's pretty incredible. I think mm-hmm. you know it's a new avenue. It's kind of like independent development. It's free too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Cheating in games, facts to online hacking, which Ethan and Tony went into a nice little fireworks over.
He's lying. That's all I have to say. He's a fucking liar.
Let's see. Where would you say cheating in games is wrong? In my opinion, any cheating in single player is fine. If the player is getting more fun out of it, then it's entirely up to him. Yeah, I think Ethan mentioned this once. I think we had this question before already, and Ethan mentioned that a very long time ago when he said like if you stop having fun with the game. Then it's not your fault, it's the game's fault. So, you know, if you cheat in it and to have fun, then go
Actually,
ahead.
Actually, that was mine.
It's both of you guys.
He said that too, though.
I remember him saying that.
I don't remember him saying that.
Flashback to episode 36 on February 21. Ethan the Jew says...
I mean, the rules should probably be, you look at the walkthrough when it stops being fun.
Right, exactly.
To solve a puzzle. If you're not having fun, then there's no point. And if you can just get by that one puzzle and have a whole bunch more fun in the next three until you get stuck again, great. Just get by the fucking puzzle and have fun with it.
I might not have been on the cast.
Well, you have a busket.
Totally, I have a basket. If the game is really, really bad, there's no qualms about cheating.
Yeah.
But cheating online, that's a different touchy subject.
And he's going into this right now. Where do you draw the line? The obvious things such as wall hacks, which let your opponents see through walls, and aimbots.
Boo.
No.
Boo.
There's a huge area of gray. For example, when I'm playing Gears, I've got a red paper ring the same size as a Lancer reticule taped to my TV. That is, I would say that you're cheating, and I would not approve of that. Unless everybody else is doing it. Because what it does is it gives you an unfair advantage over other people, not just the computer. So, yes, I do think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Utilizing glitches in the game itself?
I don't know. If you discover them.
If you abuse it. If you discover it and you're like, oh, crap, I could do this.
Right.
But then every single time you get over on somebody using the same glitch, it's bullshit.
Here's my thing about cheating. If everybody's doing it, then it still has a fair playing field.
Yeah.
If you know about this cheat and you're not sharing it, then you have uneven the playing field. The only thing...
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say I had a perfect example for that. Back in the days when Street Fighter 2 first came out, there was a cheat where you can do the a leg sweep with E Honda and then the 100-hand slap, and it's a two-hit move.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
It. And also Zangief do a suplex and then do his strong kick, two-hit move. That's it. It's all gone. And people were there was one guy that I played against because I was pretty proficient in that, and he kept on doing that shit. I was like, oh, come on, fuck you.
Yeah. Though I guess the bottom line is the only thing that should disrupt the playing field is your skill and nothing external.
Right.
So if you're going to use a cheat, everybody gets to use the cheat. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But when you're taping and I'm not trying to bash you, no disrespect at all. I'm just saying you tape a reticule to your TV. You tell everybody else so that they can do the same thing, because it really is not fair. It's not a fair playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you think is next for the gaming industry? That's Ish's topic. We're actually going to talk about that next week.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait another week.
Sorry, buddy.
Poor guy.
Moving on. Well, E3 happens. I didn't see that coming. Jeremy's male bagogram, which is what he calls the cancer ball test that we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm. Mammogram.
With
male
a recent
bagogram.
With the recent price drop, the rising success of Blu-ray, some decent promotions, which is 5 free Blu-ray movies, which all suck. Sorry. free controller, free remote, and the advent of solid games, it seems like it's a good time to purchase a PS3. Having owned one for a little while, he bought it at $500 when the man was low. That's pretty smart. That's cool. Good deal. $500 for the back when it was still $600. I have to say that I'm quite happy with the system. The OS interface is simple and elegant. It's not perfectly organized, but I really like how navigation is faster and more responsive than the 360's Blade UI. I personally found a lot of value in being able to trade in my PS2, play upscale DVDs and PS2 games on a 105-inch screen. That is awesome.
Jesus.
Yeah, because he has a projector and a movie screen. And have a Blu-ray player. Ninja Gaiden, Sigma, Flow, and Super Stardust HD are also extremely good games. Coming down the line, Lair, Heavenly Sword, I hear, in which you can't jump. Folklore, Uncharted, Ratchet and Clank, Warhawk, and Eye of Judgment all look to be excellent exclusives. I gotta disagree on Eye of Judgment. That looks stupid. But that's just me. Eye of Judgment is using the iToy camera, and you place down magic cards and stuff.
Okay.
Like, physically cards, and it reads the cards, and it makes a little game out of it. But
okay.
When you combine all those factors with the constant firmware updates, the implementation of Home, Rumble, and PSP integration, you're looking at a pretty good platform. Personally, I've been using my PS3 much more than my Xbox. There are moments where I feel it's just a superior piece of hardware. I understand the Xbox has a more extensive library at this point. Honestly, I think a lot of those games fall short of being stellar. By the end of the year, if I were to recommend a system to someone, I'd probably say PS3. 8 months ago, around the time the Wii launched, I never thought I'd be saying this. Sony's made a decent comeback this year, and I think the media is having more fun pissing on them than looking at the situation objectively. What are your thoughts? I gotta say that I agree with the media. I'm sorry. I mean, to be fair, you rattled off the list of games with the Wii, saying that it was going to be a good platform. It's selling, but look at what happens for us gamers. All those games that you listed are either delayed or not. Project Hammer, canceled. Like, who knows when all these Square Enix games are going to come. Like, there's no release date on it. They could be delayed. Lair, I guess if you like Rogue Squadron. Heavenly Sword, okay, I'll give you that one. Folklore, I think that's that, is that that White Knight RPG? I'm not sure. That looks cool. Uncharted looks all right. Ratchet and Clank looks awesome. Warhawk looks generic. Eye of Judgment, no. No, thank you. Flow? I tried to fuck with that. No, I'm sorry. I'm not feeling it. Ninja Gaiden Sigma is awesome, but guess what? I've played it already.
Right.
It's called Ninja Gaiden Black. And I know there are enhancements, I know, but that doesn't make... It's like when people were saying, you know, fucking... Mario Party 8, or fucking all the Wii games that came from GameCube games. I mean, come on, it's all old news. I don't think it's making a great comeback this year. I think the key is that it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I mean, some people don't want a Blu-ray player just yet. I don't have the TV for a Blu-ray player, so I don't want it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do, some people don't. I think, as we said last week, it's going to do just fine. But I don't think it's, you know, that much better than anything else out on the market. I really think it's all on an even keel right now.
Right.
And the key is drop the price, which they have done, but not really, because the 60 gigabytes is going to go away. That's just my thoughts. I don't know what you guys think of it. I think Tony's going to go fuck Sony.
No.
Okay.
They know that already. I don't have to say. All I have to say is Mobile Suit Gundam and Ricky Bobby.
Ricky,
that's it.
Yeah, well, the Xbox 360 did have Bomberman Act Zero,
and it has a it does have shit games, but yeah, but the library's out. They both have shit games, but this the extensive library on the 360 and the price are just too attractive. And I gotta say, once Mercenaries 2 comes out, I think I'm actually going to purchase it on a 360. I just can't wait. And also, what was the other one? With that crash game, Burnout.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once that comes out, I think that's going to be my first two purchases for my new 360.
I will say this: I think in 2008, that's when it'll really hit its stride. I really do. I do think it'll do well, but this year it's already July and they still got a ways to go. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll have some fun in the holiday season, but I think 2008 is really their year.
Yeah.
Then we'll see teasers for God of War and all that stuff. Maybe the team who did Ico and Shadow of the Colossus will do something, and that'll be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then it'll hit its stride, and maybe they'll have even another price drop, and that's when maybe you can jump in.
Right.
So I'm not going to say that PS3 is a failure. I just think it's still too early to say, yeah, PS3, the system to buy this holiday season. It's all open. It's all fair game, any one of these three systems. But I'm going to move off of this into another Sony email from Lord Andrew. Lord Andrew has your sentiments, Tony. Fuck Sony! what the hell are they thinking? Sure, we don't like multiple SKUs, but we also don't like $600 consoles with shitty PS2 emulation. Well, that's improved. So the PS2 emulation has improved. No. He's talking about the software emulation for the 80-gigabyte model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
They managed to impress me with their pre-E3 press conference, but then they completely negated the entire thing by saying they're discontinuing the $500 60-gigabyte unit. What the hell are they thinking? Do they enjoy creating confusion and stealing people's money? You know what? Fuck up. I'm not getting a PS3.
Good.
Well, I'll counter this. Who wants a non-HD DVD playing HDMI-capable $479 Xbox 360 with 120 gigabytes of hard drive space that you will probably never use?
I wonder how many people are buying Elites.
Hey, I got to say this. I was watching an interview with Peter Moore with regards to the 80-gigabyte PS3, and he said, I quote, "What are you going to do with all that space?"
Yeah.
And I thought, well, what are you going to do with 120 gigs? That's like the most hypocritical statement I've heard in like this past week. It's like, we've got 120 gigabyte Elite. And then he goes, Sony, what are you going to do with all that extra space? 80 gigabytes? Come on. What is that?
Yeah,
but anyway, yeah, I mean.
Because, hold on. The premium Xbox 360 is 20 gigs, right?
Yes.
So you go from 20 gigs to 120 gigs, and you got the nerve to say that when Sony goes from 60 to 80, what are you going to do with all that space? Think, Peter Moore. Think.
Do what you would do with 120 gigs. God, that was so... But yeah, I mean, the bottom line is they are not... This is semantics here. But what they're trying to do is not drop the price, but they're trying to introduce a more value-added unit into the marketplace. But they have this old one. So in order to get rid of the old one, they're trying to have a fire sale, which is not really a fire sale, but it's cheaper, and to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So that by the time that this new unit comes, it's like it's not like, hey, $599 for either 60 gig or 80 gig, what the hell?
Yeah, $100 difference.
See, now I do think this is better than them keeping this one or whatever and then introducing the 80 gigabyte for like $679.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? I do think that Sony's delivery on this message was borked.
Incredibly.
They should have said, We are adding value to our PlayStation 3 because we realize that it's $600. So we are adding value. Meanwhile, get your 60 gigabytes while they last because we will be dropping the price for those people who don't want to wait. That would have been much better than saying, oh, price drop.
Yep.
Oh, new unit. Oh, no, we're not getting rid of them. Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
So we have four more emails left, but Al has to leave. So before he leaves,
Al.
I'm going to read Slunks' email because he comes again with the tangents. And he says in the chat room, the part on last week's podcast where I mentioned I'd buy Ethan a 360 but Tony and Al had to do special things was never intended of judging because of race. So when you guys pointed out because Slunks and Ethan are both white, I never even thought about that until then, and I just said LOL to him. And he's like, you know what I mean!
Uh-huh.
Okay, what do you say? He says, I appreciate it if you could tell Tony and Al that so they don't think I'm a white supremacist. This way they can just think I'm a rude prick instead. What do you respond to him? I'm going to type to him right now.
We already knew that he didn't intend it for it to be that way, but it was a racism in games episode, you know?
Yeah. We just wanted to
make him self-conscious about his racism.
To make you self-conscious about your epic racism.
During our racism podcast.
During our racism podcast, say they. Let's see what he responds. While we're waiting for him to respond, let me read his email. $400 fell into my lap, but unfortunately I spent it all on laxative. I've never made iced tea so easily before.
A lot of iced tea.
I received a Squier Stratocaster complete with whammy bar and effects switch for my birthday last week.
Nice.
No surprise that I'm already pretty damn good at already, Mr. I can play Guitar Hero backwards without looking.
Right.
He says, haha. Okay. No, I've been accidentally spelling wrong all my life. Why didn't anyone tell me? He spelled
without
it accidentally.
L.
And then he goes, I accidentally entered a Guitar Hero tournament by accidentally pre-ordering Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock. It's the 28th, but I'm semi-retired from Guitar Hero. What do I do? Well, you unretire yourself, you show off.
Yeah, go run up that mountain and, you know.
Well, maybe it's a hand thing.
Hit the ham.
Hit the ham. What? No, is his hand still messed up? Is that why he's still retired?
Maybe. I don't know. Let me ask him right now.
Uh-huh.
Is your baiting hand still messed up? Is that why you're semi-retired still?
Next question is...
Watch him come back with, like, a really fucked up response.
Yeah, I know. I should be writing a preview on the Blue Dragon demo that was released the other night. It feels like writing a review that has a slight case of Down syndrome. Austin, when are you getting the Darkness? If you say it's short, I'll give you the same response I give to everyone else who says that. Why'd you buy Gears of War? I don't mind that it's short. I may get it, but I want it to come out on PC. The only shooter that I can tolerate on with analog sticks is Gears of War, and that's because it's a slower moving shooter. Chicken Shoot on the Wii got a 2.5. I suck at being funny. Come again next week. I mean, I suck at being funny today. Come back again next week. Okay, so Slunk says he's semi-retired because it's that. Yes, his baiting hand is still messed up. It's a combination of that and a lack of interest. So, So he's opened the floodgates for competitors to win. Al, give me some good songs to learn as a new guitarist. As a point of reference, I can do the intro to Sweet Child of Mine by Guns and Holy Shit. I can play some of YYZ. I can 100% kill the king, Mega Dick.
And he's strumming is fast enough to do Mizzaloo from Dick Mail.
Instead of Dick Dale. Oh, wait. Instead of Rush, he put Bush.
Yeah.
And my strumming is fast enough to do Miserloo by Dick Mail. And more, but yeah, running out of fun, easy-to-play material, and I'm wondering if you had any songs from the top of your head. LOL, Dick Mail should open up for Mega Dick.
I would say it depends on what kind of music you want to play. I mean, this is stuff from all kinds of genres. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. You could... you sound like, just according to being able to play some YYZ, strumming, doing good tremolo picking for Mizzaloo, and being able to do some open arpeggios for Sweet Child of Mine. You could pretty much go on to whatever kind of music you like. Like, what are your favorite bands? Go maybe look online
song
for
out of
some
your ass.
Pab, or I don't know. Do shit like fucking...
Don't do Winter Sandman.
Enter Sandman is a pretty cool song to start off with if you wanted to do like metal or Metallica stuff. Maybe look up some.
Everybody's done it. Don't do it.
I know, but that's
this
the
is a kid
why.
Learning how to play. You dumbass.
Learning how to play guitar. You dummy.
Dumbo.
You dumbo.
Dumbo.
Yeah, you can start with like some Black Album Metallica or some second generation Megadeth like probably. Well, you probably have to do Megadeth after because it's a lot more advanced than new Metallica stuff.
Right.
Then you could start going on to stuff like Slayer and Anthrax, and then if you're really, really good, you could start doing stuff like Dragon Force, which is just like...
I want to see what he says to Dragon Force. I just put that in there, and he's probably like, no.
If he knows what Dragon Force is, then he's probably going to cry. He's going to hit me or something. But,
Oh, man.
Or if you want, you can...
He asks Megadeth's more advanced than Metallica, but I guess you meant... Well, he was talking about Easy Metallica.
Yeah, I was talking about Easy Metallica. Because Megadeth, they never... Well, late, much, much later in their career did they start making, like, Easy stuff.
Right, right.
So...
Looks like you have to eat.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I'll have to go to work and eat and stuff.
Yeah, you know, because I got to do my thing at the office. Yeah.
You don't deserve
been
our mailbags.
Good talking to you, boy.
Goodbye, Alfreda.
Oh, Alfred, it's how little we knew you.
Yeah, I know. I'm off to the old gallows.
Gallows. While he takes off, Tony and I will answer the remainder of the mailbags.
Oh.
Rivet.
Gallows made me think of something. You might want to think of doing some Iron Maiden, too. That's some pretty
Iron
good
Maiden.
Stuff.
Well, that's like you know, if he gets really,
yeah.
really good, right? Yeah. If he gets really good, then he's got to do
Dream Theater.
He's got to do shut up. He's got to do Dream Theater.
Dream Theater?
He's definitely got to do
oh,
Dream Theater.
Oh my god. Yeah, if you really want to like be good at guitar, look for John Petrucci's Rock Discipline. That's a good DVD
Wants
to have.
To be really good at guitar, look for John Petrucci's what's it called?
Rock Discipline. It's like a $30 or $40 DVD, but it'd be the last music DVD you ever own.
Exactly.
All right, I'm out of here.
Bless. Metallica.
All right, take care,
Metallica.
Al.
Metallica. Question from Riven, who likes homoeroticism. Just kidding, Riven. That's because of our outro last week. Did you listen to that, Tony, or did
yes,
you just hear
course.
The NES thing? Okay.
No. Of course, I heard the whole thing.
I got immersed in water. And it, oh, everything. Shit! It works. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
taking things out of context. That's what we get with editors.
It looks like a tampon. Turn it around and immerse it in water. Riven says, "Okay, got to make this quick." Yeah, right, dude. Your questions are always never low. Quick.
It's like a thesis. It's not a question. Yeah.
Okay, got to make this quick as I'm in the middle of prepping my own stuff for our post E3 show. Just wanted to make sure I actually got my question in on time this week. So one thing I've noticed coming out this year at E3 is that a lot of high-profile games are the latest games of long-running series. Games like Devil May Cry 4, Grand Theft Auto 4, Halo 3, Metal Gear Solid 4, Call of Duty 4, Ratchet & Clank Future, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Metroid Prime 3, recently announced Silent Hill 5, and I'll put this one in for him, Smash Brothers Brawl, which is the third one in the series. My question is, how important do you think it is that a person play all the previous games in a series before jumping into the current one? I ask because I'm interested in a lot of these games, but may have missed a few or all games prior in a respective series. Take, for instance, Ratchet & Clank. I own a PS3, but no real games for it. Ratchet & Clank Future looks completely awesome, but having never played any of the Ratchet games, I'm wondering if it would be a smart choice to just jump in on the latest one. Or how about MGS4, considering I've only played the first Metal Gear Solid and halfway through the second one before moving away and forgetting the entire story. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that wasn't that an intense teaser trailer that was shown for Resident Evil 5? I'd really love to play that one, but again, I've only played through the first two games. What are your thoughts on this, and what would you do? Personally, I can't bring myself to play a later iteration of a game without having played its precursors. That's why I held off on playing Dreamfall until I saw a couple with the original Longest Journey on Steam. Thankfully, I can use a service like Gamefly to go back and... Oh, good point. Gamefly to go back and play some games that I missed from the series I want to get into now, but also have to wonder if it'd be worth my very limited time to do so now. Is it worth playing through all those older games before I think about getting the latest one, or should I just concentrate on the new IPs that are introducing new storylines and beginning new series? Well, I'll tell you this much. If you've never played the older games in a series, these games might as well be new IPs. I think the only problem with playing a game after a later game first is storyline. Now, that's if you care about storyline, and that's depending on how story-oriented the game is.
Right.
If you're talking about Devil May Cry 4, its focus is on action. It's on combat. Maybe there's some storyline elements here or there. Yeah, he rapes his younger brother or something crappy like that in the first one, and you're the younger brother in the second one, you take revenge. I don't know. But whatever. It's about the game.
Right.
So you can just skip ahead. Grand Theft Auto 4 is supposedly a totally new game, which is a departure from the other ones in terms of storyline.
Right.
The other ones weren't even connected storyline. San Andreas wasn't connected to Vice City, which wasn't connected to Grand Theft Auto 3. So jump into that. Halo 3, well, you've played the other Halos, I think. But Halo 3, yeah, that's one that you might want to play the other ones if you care enough about the story, because a huge thing about that game that everyone loves is the story. Metal Gear Solid 4 is a definite must for the storyline. Again, though, me personally, I don't give a shit. I couldn't stand Metal Gear Solid 2. I didn't finish it. I'm about to open Metal Gear Solid 3 at some point in the next 10 years without having played 2, because all I care about is the gameplay. Call of Duty 4, gameplay. It's modern combat. It's not World War II. And besides, would you really care about playing another World War II shooter with a different storyline before playing the previous one? If you haven't played Call of Duty 1, it's not going to matter if you play Call of Duty 3. Yeah, that's the same thing. Ratchet & Clank Future is gameplay. It's platform. You don't need to really know the story, you know? Half-Life 2, that's kind of story-driven. You might want to finish the other Half-Lives. Personally, again, I don't care about story enough to do that, so I just jump ahead. Metroid Prime 3,
no.
If you ever get a Wii. Story, I mean, it has a deep story, if you want to call it that. Like, if you sit there and scan everything, but you could just as easily play the Metroid games without having to scan everything.
Right.
So it's give or take. If you really want to know all the stuff that Samus found in the first two games, then yeah, but you don't need to. Silent Hill 5, I bet you that's going to be different. Silent Hill
different,
1, 2, and 3 you probably want to play in sequence, right?
No.
No?
No, not at all. They tangent on every single one. Every single one has a tangent, except for 3, which introduces the daughter of Henry, who was the father father in part 1. But that's about as
deep
as it goes.
Oh, okay, so 2 is not linked to 1 or 3?
2 is... I don't know what the fuck 2 is.
But 1 and 3 are linked.
1 and 3 are linked only in that that's the daughter.
Right, but it's still the same... It's a continuation.
Yeah, but the storyline doesn't really... like, if you didn't play part 1, it doesn't hinge on this, you know...
Right,
nothing,
right.
You've missed nothing.
Right, but there's more continuity that you would probably
in that one
take
aspect,
interest in,
it.
Right?
Well, no. In that one aspect, that's where the continuity is. Other than that, it's a fucking new game. That's it.
Oh, sure. I mean, of course it's a new game, but I mean, like...
Yeah, so you don't really have to play Part 1 in order to appreciate Part 3.
Right. Okay.
You don't. And Silent Hill 5 is most likely going to be way different than right. Silent Hill 4.
Right.
Silent Hill 4 is way different than all of them to get to begin with. Right. So.
Well, I guess what I was going for is not necessarily... same story, but at least some kind of continuity that some people kind of like to like those references to past games, and they like to know mm-hmm. what they're talking about. He brought up the example of The Longest Journey and Dreamfall, which are two adventure games.
Okay.
Dreamfall is a sequel to Longest Journey. It's a direct sequel. It doesn't take the same storyline,
right.
but it's linked. It's the successor to it. It's mm-hmm. linked to it.
Right.
So while you don't play the same main character... they're related, right. so it's kind of like for the purists, they kind of want to know what the inside.
Oh, yeah,
references
no, no. When
are.
It comes to that, yeah. When it comes to that,
right.
then yeah, you definitely have to play the previous part. But like, in order to understand Metroid Prime,
you don't have
you probably
to.
Have to play.
Yeah.
You probably have to play the original Metroid on the Nintendo.
Right. Exactly.
It continues
right.
from there.
Yeah.
You know.
But in a game like Metroid, which is so gameplay oriented, nah, you can
yeah.
probably pass. Or as long as Journey and Dreamfall as adventure games.
Mm-hmm.
Our story base, so he probably, but he's already done that, so we don't have to advise him that.
Right. Right
but
right.
yeah, I mean, I would really just say you have to read the reviews and see which ones say they're linked, but you don't have to play versus they totally are not associated with each other at all.
Wait, I think I messed up. Metroid Prime is, I don't think it's linked to Metroid 1. It's probably linked to 2, right?
Metroid
For
Prime
the Game Boy?
Is. Metroid Prime takes place after Metroid.
It's Metroid 3 that. Takes place after both Metroid
yeah.
1 and 2.
So I think the timeline would go like this. Metroid on the NES,
yeah.
Metroid Prime series, Metroid 2, Super Metroid, Metroid Fusion. I think that's how it would go.
Oh, okay.
So basically, Metroid and Metroid, and spoilers if anybody hasn't beaten the Metroids yet.
Right.
And Metroid, you know, she blows up Mother Brain. And then right. she on her way back from that mission, she runs into this planet in Metroid Prime 1. And then after that, she kind of goes off to into the planet Metroid Prime 2 and 3.
Right.
In Metroid 2, she visits this this
SR388, the home planet of the Metroids.
Yes, that's right. The home planet and the Metroids. She destroys all of them. She saves one hatchling.
Mhm.
And in Metroid 3, which is known as Super Metroid in the States.
Right.
Ridley who steals her away?
Ridley steals the hatchling. The hatchling.
Yeah, Ridley steals the hatchling away.
And what's great is that later on in the game, that hatchling comes back
and saves you in the end.
Yeah.
Oh my god, spoilers! I told you.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
If you haven't
the
played
the statute
it,
of limitations has been lifted on spoilers on Metroid and Final Fantasy VII. If you don't
right.
if you don't know that beep dies. Oh fuck it, I'm just saying it. If you don't know that Iris dies and you're screwed.
Oh man.
Sorry, but she does. And then Metroid Fusion takes place directly after Metroid 3. So
okay.
But yeah, I mean if you just can't bring yourself to play them, then mm-hmm. if you don't have time, then yeah, maybe you should just focus on the new IPs. I mean, there's plenty of new stuff coming out there.
Yeah.
But just give it a shot. I mean, it doesn't really matter. For many of these games, it really just does not matter. I mean, it's all about...
Me personally, Smash Brothers, there's no reason.
Right, exactly. Something like Smash Brothers.
There's no reason.
Yeah.
No reason whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, I would give you for Halo 3 and Metal Gear Solid 4, yeah, you might be hesitant. The other ones, go ahead, jump in. I'm sure they're great.
Yeah.
P.S. Yeah. Kudos on the post-show mashup from episode 53. It was even more homoerotic than my own.
Wait, is that yeah. where you got your inspiration from? He did one?
He did one, him and his co-host Leiden, and they just did something very similar. Like,
okay.
It was pretty funny. Drac, who is one of our contributors, asks, 1.
Love Drac.
How much will E3's new format help the image of the industry? By that, he means no booth babes, smaller venues.
Only press,
invite only. Yeah. I don't know if it'll help the image any or be a detriment to it. In terms of the no booth babes, I think that'll help. because while a lot of people liked ogling them, like, I don't know, it kind of made the industry. It's entertainment,
yeah.
but it also made the industry seem a little bit less mature.
Like seedy, huh?
A little bit more seedy, yeah. They're just booth like
you made it look like a porno convention.
Yeah, girls who know nothing about many girls who know nothing about games, who are there like in bikinis pimping mm-hmm. a game that they know nothing about, and then guys
right.
just ogle them and you know, whatever, man. I mean, I don't know how that speaks for you know auto shows because you know they mm-hmm. there are a lot of models that go to auto shows,
mm-hmm.
But games, I think games wants to be a more widespread media entertainment type of thing. And in order to do that, you have to kind of, the booth babes, not really necessary. With the auto show, it's auto shows
now,
are,
listen,
yeah.
Also, you know, with an auto show, a girl will fuck you for a car. She's not going to fuck you for a game. Let's get down to it.
There's also that, and pardon me if I'm wrong, because I don't follow the auto trade too far, right. And I know some girls who do race, you know.
Right.
There's no disrespect to them, but to be stereotypical, it seems, unfortunately for them, it seems more like a very male driven, more testosterone driven type of thing.
Right.
So for that, and it seems more niche. Not everybody wants, like, you know, a rice rocket. So.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe is less inappropriate for, you know, babes to be hawking these cars.
Right.
When you're talking about games, now that they're trying to mature and get into a space where they appeal to both girls and boys, men and women, the elderly and non-gamers now, with the Wii coming along, you kind of want to hold back on the booth babe. So, yes, I do think that this new format will kind of help. I don't know anything else about it that would help, like the smaller venues. I really think that the fact that it's less of a spectacle kind of puts it less in the public eye, and maybe it's missing some of that. But otherwise, it'll be okay. I mean, I don't know what you think about this, Tony.
Me personally, I mean, like, you know, they did it as an like a whole entertainment venue. It's not only about, like, giving you the new, you know, the what's new on video game technology, what they're coming out with, new games and stuff like that. It was trying to give you entertainment for your buck, you know, pretty much.
Right.
You go there, you go to a Nintendo booth, and they're introducing this new game. Of course, I don't know this.
Right.
But if they had a booth babe there and stuff like that, maybe you'll stay longer for the presentation.
Right.
You know, even if it is to ogle the girl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, people are very... their learning curve is very, very subjective. Like, people will come away with an impression of a game based on the entertainment that was given to them.
Yep.
Okay? So if I was to, like, go to this booth and they had, like, this wild fucking fireworks show, you know, people... Like, for instance, when we went to the Wii premiere... You know, they had the people on stilts, they had jugglers, they had Disney, you know, and that shit you remember. You remember where you were at that point and stuff like that. So think about it. They do this to a game, and the game is really shitty. But what you come away with...
is awesome experience.
Yeah, it's the awesome experience. I got to get this game based on that experience. Has nothing to do with the game. And you're right. You know, these girls probably don't have any idea what fucking game they're pimping at that time. Okay? But that's not what it's about. It's about, you know, it's about one... men are stupid, and they want this shit, okay? And two, men are stupid, and this is the only way they will pay attention.
Dumbo!
You know? Dumbo! I mean, like, you know, what it all comes down to is that if you're a really hardcore gamer, if you're really in the know about the business, all of that shit didn't matter to begin with.
Right.
Didn't matter to begin with. So what will you miss from this? Nothing at all. As a matter of fact, you'll actually want them to be more in tuned with giving you everything, you know, that they know about the system or will know about the prospectus or anything else like that, because there is no other entertainment. There's no smoke and mirrors anymore. So now they got to come out and tell you exactly what's going to happen, and you are going to listen intently, because there's no entertainment, distractions to get in the way of the message.
Right.
So, you know, it forces them to come out and entertain you with what they're given now. Okay? Not with girls, not with fireworks, not with things. This is what you came here for. We're going to give you everything that you wanted to know about it. And that's it.
Right.
And to me, that is exactly what hardcore gamers need.
Right.
You know? So, in your case, you said that Nintendo blew it on their presentation.
Right.
Okay? And if they blew it on their presentation, then they have nothing else to fall back on. And that's bad.
Yeah.
You know? That is bad.
Though I should reiterate that, like, I'm not criticizing their whole show. Because it's not just about the presentation, but it's a big part of it. So
right.
They had their games to fall back on, and the reception was pretty good. But, like, yeah, you're right. It's kind of hard to, in the public's mindset, it's kind of hard to recover if you blow something like that. So, he has a second question. It seems to me that it would have been possible to make E3 remain open to the public. Correction, it never was. while still getting rid of all the glitter and pizzazz. Was a loss in casual participation at the event even worth it? Yeah, first thing to clarify, it was never open to the public. Something like Tokyo Game Show is open to the public. You or I couldn't walk in. That's the definition. That's the definition of open to the public. What E3 really was they were very lax on the invites that they gave out. Joe Blow from xbloggaming.com could get in. Was a loss of casual participation, and I'll have to qualify that by saying Joe Blow blogger, because there is no public participation. Yes, I think it was worth it. I think that, like, I felt like the news came out quicker. I felt like I could, when I was watching video streams of GameSpot at E3, I could hear what they were saying because they didn't have to shout over, like, the hordes of people, and in addition, like, the hordes of, like, music and fireworks and all that stuff that was going on in the past E3s. Because with less people, there's less need for that kind of spectacle, is what I'm saying. And so he does point out the glitter and pizzazz. Yeah, you get rid of that, but you could still keep it open to the public. So, but yeah, I mean, less people to deal with, easier for them to do their jobs. I mean, it's not like it really truly affects me in the end, but personally, if it means that they're getting us our content more efficiently and they're ready to go the next week after E3 is over without being overly fatigued, sure. If I was in their position, if I was a journalist, I wouldn't want the running of the Nintendo nerds going to the Nintendo booth, which is what they called it. Like, there was a whole throng of kids who would just run to the Nintendo booth, and it's like, I am trying to get to an appointment. I need to get to this appointment to give you the information you want. So no, I don't think that it should have ever been open to the public, and I'm glad it wasn't, and I'm glad that they've pared it down. I think they should have been more lenient on the invites to publishers. The invites to the media, with few people there, that's fine. I'm glad that there's fewer people there. It looks like it made it a lot easier to do their jobs. I think that they should have a separate event that is open to the public, something like Penny Arcade's PAX, something like Digital Life, but because, and they should have more of them, but the purpose of E3 is such that it should not be open to the public. Something like GDC, the Game Developers Conference. You know, a lot of people complain that, oh, there's no news about, like, new games being released, or, like, the sequel being released, or blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Game Developers Conference. Game developers. The conference is there for game developers to shoot the shit with other game developers and share technologies, not to sit there and going, Halo 3 will be released on November 29,000th. No, I'm sorry, it's not. I'm sorry. If you think otherwise, you're wrong. That's the bottom line. These things have a purpose, and in order to get the purpose, you know, efficiently maintained, certain sacrifices have to be made. And for in E3's case, journalism should, you know, be journalism, and the fans should have their own event. I mean, that's as simple as that. Go buy a ticket to PAX. PAX. You look it up, Penny Arcade. Let's see. You have anything, or should we move on to the next question?
No, I think we're good with this.
Okay.
Who's Al?
Al. He actually wrote an editorial for us once. Bases. Dude, I can't pronounce your screen name. I'm really sorry. Bases or Base Z. I think it's Bases 2. That's how he's known on GameSpot. But his real name is Al.
Okay.
Al, not our Al, the other Al, he asks, do any of you guys plan on purchasing the Xbox 360 Elite? What are your different opinions on the value of the system? And what do you think the new Elite means for the console war against Sony and Nintendo? Are Microsoft in a stronger position? He's saying it's new because in Europe they're releasing it now. It's already been released in the States, but it's new to Europe. You go ahead because you answered first. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying no because they still cannot get market share in some of. And I'm not sure if they have a considerable market share in the U.S.
They have a huge market share.
Okay.
But in Japan,
the US, yeah, Japan they're dead. Japan they're fucking dead. You know, and this Elite will do nothing for Japan. As I said, I am actually not in the know about the Elite. Is that the one with the 120 gig hard drive?
Yeah, here's what the Elite has. The Elite has 120 gigabyte hard drive, and it has an HDMI output for high-definition TVs. Okay. And I think that's it.
Okay, so goes into your argument. One, I don't have a TV that'll display that, so I don't really care. Two... I don't know what I would use a 120 gig hard drive for. I don't know if there are games that require it. Maybe they'll come out with like a high def game that loads all the information onto the hard drive and you play it that way.
I just thought of something. You know why they're having 160? It's because of Microsoft's video download content. They have a lot of videos up there now.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to be a TiVo type of thing as well. So I guess that's what they would use it for. But anyway, go on.
Right. All right, so barring that, that was never a selling point for me. What was a selling point for me is what will I play and will it get better?
Right.
And, you know, me personally, I said this before. They're coming out with Mercenaries 2.
And that's when you're going to probably jump in.
Which looks great, yeah. And they're coming out with Burnout. And that looks great. Guess what? Done. Sold. I don't care if it's Elite, fucking cheapo. I don't care what fucking nomenclature they give to the system. I don't care. I'll buy it. You know what?
But which point, version are you gonna buy? Do you think you'll buy the Elite or you buy the regular one?
Well, I think I would buy the Elite because that seems the way they want to go. They'll probably gear their marketing towards it, towards this new system later on. So I might as well get on the bandwagon before it starts, you know?
Right.
And it seems to me like, you know, just looking at Sony's track record, they might phase out the other units.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, get something that they're going to support, you know? Right. And if you're saying that because it uses a smaller processor, I believe this is what you said for last week's
podcast. It might. I don't think the Elites are, but the later, it's coming. I don't know when, though.
Okay. Then that also alleviates the
Red Ring of
chance
Death.
Of the Red Ring of Death. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of selling factors as to why I would buy the Elite, you know, but mainly the only reason why I would buy an Xbox 360 are the games. That's what it comes down to. You know, I'm not buying something just so I could watch movies and, you know, they're pretty.
Right.
No, I don't care. I really don't. So it's all about the games. They're coming out with two games that I absolutely would love to play, and that's what it comes down to. Will I buy the Elite? Sure, because that's the future of the Xbox.
Right.
So that's it.
Now onto his question, as far as Microsoft in a stronger position, which you already said no. I gotta agree, and also, if you look at the price points right now, you're paying almost $500, which people thought was already ridiculous for the PlayStation 3. You're paying almost $500 for a system that you can already get at $400 or $350 or whatever you can find on eBay for the Xbox, for the premium Xbox 360 SKU. And it's like the Elite has a bigger hard drive. It has nothing to add with the console. It has a hard drive. That's it. I mean, you're not getting prettier-looking games. You're not getting better games. You're getting the same ones, and you're getting it at a higher price. And then, sure, you get the HDMI input, and that, you know, that is key. But, I mean, I'm sure there are other TVs that take VGA input. I mean, it's really a creature comfort, this HDMI. And the Halo version is coming with an HDMI output, too. So it's like, are they weaker for it? No.
Right.
But they're not stronger for it, and actually I might argue that maybe they should have spent their money on building better Xbox 360 premiums. And it's also just evidence. The Elite's existence is evidence that of how not forward-looking the original Xbox 360 model was, because it didn't have an HDMI port, and like, oh shit, we got to put in one now. And they do it now. So that's just evidence that, hey, dudes, you fucked up. And also in terms of maybe the hard drive space isn't big enough. You know, so, I mean, that you never know. I mean, people might be better off getting a core system without the hard drive and getting a 120 gig hard drive. But at the same time,
that's like
that'll still end up being the same price, because the 80 gigabyte hard drive, the 120 gigabyte hard drive is like 180 or something ridiculous like that.
It's ridiculous.
Stupid.
Yeah.
anyway.
Don't mince your words, Austin.
God. Anyway, moving on. Ish from last week asks, this one is, would everyone state their opinion on which device they think is the best looking, or at least looks most fun to play with? The GunCon.
Is that orange zapper?
It's the thing that PlayStation used for, like, House of the Dead and stuff.
Oh.
Or Time Crisis.
Oh.
GunCon, Wii Zapper, Light Gun, or that we used to play Duck Hunt, or a real gun. I think you two should have a duel since you're both in Brooklyn.
Listen, I scared many a person pulling out that fucking Duck Hunt Leica. Robbed many a bank. No, I really can't answer on this because, one, any gun games, I'm wary of ever since the Super Scope. And ever since Dreamcast released House of the Dead with no gun, because they wanted to be the company that said, no, we're not going to release a gun. We can't do that. The public doesn't want gun games, you know? So, I'm sorry. No, you'd sent the link. Sorry.
Oh, I have sent Tony a link of the GunCon picture so you can take a look at it.
Oh, okay. All right. So what I was saying, you know, the Dreamcast, I bought House of the Dead and no gun. So you had to use it with the controller. And then, wouldn't you know it, they brought out a gun.
Right.
You know, they brought out a gun. So I'm very wary about gun games. So if there's a gun game out there, I most likely won't buy it. As a matter of fact, there's only one game that I did buy the gun for. Point Blank.
And we for the PlayStation 1, yeah. Well, yeah. I think the question here is more which device looks the most appealing, which looks most appealing to you?
Yeah, well, I just answered. I don't know. That was my answer.
I will say, I'll tell you what doesn't look fun to play with, the fucking Wii Zapper. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I would, just from appearances alone, mm-hmm. From appearances alone, I would, and I'm not going to say a real gun. From appearances alone, the GunCon, out of the choices you gave. But from actually hands-on experience, the light gun, just because it's light. It's and by light, I mean weight. It's light. Mm-hmm. GunCon looks a little bit bulky and heavy. Yeah. Actually, though, my favorite one ever probably is the Extreme Deer Hunter 2 arcade games rifle. No, not rifle. I'm sorry. Shotgun with pump action reload.
Nice.
That thing is just fun. It's shotgun with the stock and you pump it. It's just fun. I don't know. I like that one the most. but definitely not a real gun. Moving on. More question. Last one. Marshyman50, a.k.a. Josh, asks, I just wanted to know which one of you hates exercise. Now what is it going to take for that person to buy Wii Fit? For me, they would have to announce a new WarioWare with it or a nice snowboarding game. Ooh, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I don't hate exercise. I'm just undisciplined. But I won't buy Wii Fit because I buy games.
Right.
I exercise on the basketball court. That's all I do. What about you?
No, I mean, I'm not going to buy something that is just going to sit in my room eventually.
So you're not going to exercise?
No. I mean, like, why would I exercise on a game system? I know it's fun and stuff like that, but come on. Go to gym.
Yeah.
Get outside, ride a real bike, you know? What are you going to have? Wii bike? No, fuck that. I don't care. I'm not going to buy it. Do I hate exercise? Yeah. I'm a fat fuck.
Oh, man. I do think, though, that if they did bring out a WarioWare or a snowboarding game for the balance board, I would probably try that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, if we're talking about a snowboarding game, that would be kind of cool. WarioWare, of course, but the actual Wii Fit software, no thanks. Mm-hmm. Monkey Ball and it could work because they actually had one of the games in Wii Fit is using the board to, like, you know, tilt the playing field to get a ball into a hole, which looked like Monkey Ball. That I would buy it for, but not that game, for a real Monkey Ball game. And not that shit that's currently on the Wii.
No, Jesus, let us never speak of that.
Monkey golf.
Oh, my God. Monkey flog. That's golf backwards. Flog.
any more remarks on this, or should we wrap this gavel up?
Yeah, if they made a surfing game, too, that
surfing.
Would be cool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, not the Silver Surfer game.
Oh, Fantastic Four. All right,
yeah,
well,
we're done.
On to housekeeping then. Don't forget, Riven's Game Slaves Radio podcast is on every week. You can catch it on iTunes, Game Slaves Radio, or you can catch it on the on their website, gameslaves.net. They have a contest this week. Just look on the – I think they're up to episode 17 or 18 now. Just every time you go to gameslaves.net, you sign into the forums, and they have a podcast topic for each podcast episode. And they should have the details on the contest there. So listen to the podcast. You'll get details there for their contest. Speaking of contests, our own Pirates vs. Ninjas contest, I think we will close next week.
Next week?
So get your entries in. Your entries in. We have the t-shirts at Ethan's house or somewhere or maybe at the job. Yeah. Did you take a look at them?
I've not seen them yet.
If you see them lying around, take a look at them. I want to know how they look. We have the t-shirt at Ethan's house, and we'll get the $50 gift certificate whenever someone wins so we know what country they're from. And, pick a pirate or ninja that you think would win in a battle of pirates versus ninjas. And this also goes along with, do you think pirates or ninjas are better? Which one's better? Pick a ninja, pick a pirate, preferably from a video game. Doesn't have to be. Once again, the rules are, if you want to win $50, it's a random drawing. So just enter your name. if you want to win a t-shirt, you have to actually explain why that pirate or ninja would win in a battle of all battles. And try to make it funny. I think
we should have made made the t-shirts a random drawing and the $50. Make them work for that money.
Maybe we should have. Too late now, but we'll do it next time. We'll do it next time. And the Gamers Lounge podcast seems to be on hiatus, but look for it, I guess.
Poor guys.
New podcast to look out for. I have not listened to this one yet. Sorry about that, Josh. I will get to it. But our last question sender, MarshyMan50, is starting a podcast on his GameSpot profile. So gamespot.com/users/MarshyMan50. MarshyMan50. And if the podcast sucks, you can blame him, not me. But I'm sure it's fine. I believe that's it for housekeeping.
That's great.
Do you have any buskets to empty?
Nah, I think I pretty much busked it out.
All right, turds, for Al. What's up? For Ethan.
I'm Jewish.
For Tony.
I'm in his house. I'm robbing him blind.
You're robbing him. This has been your podcast.trygames, and I have Chupon host your mid. Yeah. What? Shut up. $400 fell into my lap, but unfortunately I spent it all on laxative. I've never made iced tea so easily before.
A lot of iced tea.